the stories were Antonov bombers flying over, sometimes three and four times a day, dropping bombs, inability to plant or do anything because of the fear. And so there are people being killed. There were stories of shrapnel cutting people apart or going into children's bodies, and very gory, gory stories. And secondly, there was some concern that this was a racial issue, that they were all black Africans and they were targeted for their race.
What is your assessment of the humanitarian situation at this particular refugee camp?
I think the camp is very well run. For a refugee camp, it's not a very pleasant place, but for a camp, it's very well run. As I went to one staff meeting when they were giving reports, people come from different areas, go to different quadrants of the camp. There were food distribution. They are running out of food, though, because the UN has not been willing to give them a full allotment of food. Part of the reason is they're concerned that it's too close to the border, but the people said they're not going to leave camp. They don't want to go to the new site because it's near a swampy area and there's no right place to grow crops. So they were asking for a regular supply of food, a 30-day supply of food. Secondly, they were asking for seed and tools in order to plant the seed. They felt they would be able to sell crops, frankly, to the local Dinka people next year because they come from an agricultural background.
Your visit coincided with the recent tension between Juba and Khartoum, and there have been reports of military buildup on the borders. You visited Joe and had an opportunity to talk to some of the soldiers who are stationed at these border points. What is your opinion about these hostilities between the two countries?
You want peace, and they're going to have to find some way for the North and the South to cooperate and get along because you have oil that can be of a benefit to both. But we'll have to see.
You also met authorities in Juba, the government of South Sudan.
Right.
And you were meeting them at the backdrop of their decision to shut their oil pipeline, and that has brought a lot of economic burden on Sudan and South Sudan. What is the U.S. doing to help resolve this stalemate?
Well, there are activities. I think you got to talk to somebody within the administration for that. That's not something that the Congress is directly involved in, and I'm not. But there are talks underway and efforts underway to begin to bring the two sides together whereby the oil can.
But what would you recommend? What
would
you like to see happen?
I don't know that my position recommending. I think you have to have maybe a three-party group, somebody that's connected to one side, somebody that's connected to the other side, perhaps the African Union and the UN, picking a third party who can be a tiebreaker, if you will, to sort of administer that and get it running. But I don't know who those parties should actually be, and I think that would have to rely on the administration.
The Congress has been lobbying for positive action towards Sudan for quite a long time, and you have been involved in this lobbying process. Now that these two countries are not coming in terms with one another, are you looking for another course of action to kind of bring them down to speak to each other and resolve their issues?
Well, I think they will work it out. I think both of them are very dependent upon the revenues of the oil. And my sense is there will be a process that goes a little bit while longer, but there will be a mechanism, and I think it will be worked out.
Are you optimistic towards the U.S. current policy of trying to talk to both countries and making sure that they do not engage in hostilities?
I don't know that I'm optimistic about it. I don't know that I'm pessimistic. I think, you know, it's a tough neighborhood. And we'll have to see, but I think you have to keep trying. And there has been a lot of progress. My first visit to Sudan, southern Sudan, was in the midst of a war, and now you have an independent country. And I expect President Salva Kiir and them to be able to operate and do well. And
are there any reasons why you did not visit Sudan?
What would have I done in Khartoum? I mean, I don't know what would have been the benefit of that. I thought it was more important to go visit people in the refugee camps. I don't think I am. Frank Wolf is not the person to talk to.
Any reasons for that stand?
Well, I think if there's a historical reason, but I just don't think, I think the administration, I don't think it's my job to go and speak to Khartoum.